I came in at a time when there was some changeover in staff. You know, I was actually fresh out of audio school, so for me it was a very good opportunity to sort of, you know, get some work, so to speak. So I came in and, yeah, I'll work for the Buddhists, you know, and I'll do their thing, and they seem like nice enough people. But, you know, like a lot of us, it's don't give me religion and don't give me, you know, dogma and all the rest of it. But so then it's just me and the gear. I learned how to use the gear, and then it was me in the vault, and I looked at these old specs, you know, what they want done in terms of the audio recovery, and just started picking tapes and going at it and started to do it, and that was the first thing. So now what we do is we take the original quarter-inch reel-to-reel tapes, and sometimes cassette tapes also. There's some masters only that are on cassette. And I play them back on our playback devices. We put those into the computer, and we record them onto a hard drive in high resolution, 24-bit. And after that, I dither them down into a 16-bit, which goes on to audio CD. We like audio CD because a lot of the disk drives, optical media, is backward compatible to audio CD. And there is enough longevity data now that it's actually robust enough. So in the late 90s, when I first started, it was like, well, maybe CD's not so good, maybe not, da-da-da-da. But now it's, you know, 2008, it's 10 years later, so, you know, it's pretty much a proven thing. And it's very, very robust. You know, you can get a very scratchy CD and they still play. So we also analyze the CDs, make sure the error rates are done, and make sure that our burners are actually performing properly. And due to the nature of CDs is that they correct their own error, so you really can't tell. That's the nature of the error correction. It's corrected, you can't hear with the naked ear. So you need a machine to tell you if there's inconsistencies in the data tracks and sort of different layers of data correction that's going on with optical media. So we analyze, which is very important because, as you know, sometimes a CD can just stop playing for no reason and you look at it and it's like, what happened? So you don't want to do that. You don't want to have that. So we also make MP3s. We also make, from a preservation point of view, you just want to take the original source material and transfer it exactly how it sounds. But in 2005, when we wanted to actually finish the audio recovery project, we needed to fundraise properly, and individual donations weren't quite doing it for us. So Carolyn Gimeon went to the centers themselves and said, if you fundraise, you know, for your center, the net thing, you know, you can get a whole collection of Chögyam Trungpa's CDs. So we offered them a program where they would receive 1,500 CDs for their center. And currently we're making 27 sets, so that we have 27 basically satellite archives around. But in the process of that, I did restoration of the audio, which means cleaning it up and taking out hums and buzzes and all the rest of that. So from an archival migration point of view, you don't do that. And our archival masters don't have any correction. But when you have a user library, well, why not? You know, who wants to sit there? And as we all know, when you listen to Dharma talks and they're poorly recorded, I mean, you get irritated. And while that might be good to show you something, but you really want to hear it. So you can tell from the ones on your website, they're actually nice and clean. And I was listening to the originals just tonight, and lots of hum and buzz and just a lot of crap in there that got taken out. Okay, so here we have the original. This one I picked is Talk 2. It's particularly nasty. And so here's a clip of it that is unaltered.
You see, getting beyond ego doesn't mean to say that you have to lose any kind of contact with the reality at all. I think that's a lot of cases misunderstanding the reference of that. You need ego, and without that you can't operate. That's very sort of convenient basic twist, amalgamating the hope and the fear as well as the notion of sanity amalgamated together and trying to use this kind of excuse of you need some basic ground to operate, which is, I would say, misunderstanding.
And so now here's the restored version with the noise taken out using our technology that we have at the archives, and you can tell it's much easier to listen to, much nicer to listen to.
You see, getting beyond ego doesn't mean to say that you have to lose any kind of contact with the reality at all. I think that's a lot of cases misunderstanding the reference of that you need ego, and without that you can't operate. That's very sort of convenient basic twist, amalgamating the hope and the fear as well as the notion of sanity amalgamated together and trying to use this kind of excuse of you need some basic ground to operate, which is I would say misunderstanding.
So yeah, it's been quite the journey over the last 9 to 10 years. When I first came in, obviously, as I said before, it was just me and the gear and learning how to use it. So now we're about 95% done. There's a trickle of work left, but centers are going to receive, they've received 1,400 of the 1,500 CDs. There's just 100 left to go, and we're quite amazed that this actually happened. And it's been on the books, like I said, since 1996, and I was the guy who sort of breathed some life into it and took it through, and I feel very fortunate to be able to do that. You know, a lot of people say, thank you very much, and I say, well, hey, thank you very much for giving me the chance or the opportunity. So, and again, of course, you know, coming in and discovering the Vidyadhara and, you know, listening to these tapes going like, well, yeah, that's true, and that's true too, and that's true, you know, and then, you know, starting to sit and starting to digest the teachings. And for me, it wasn't very hard. I found that I kind of not knew these things, but kind of had inklings, or, you know, was along those lines, so to speak. So for me, it was almost like coming home and discovering this stuff. And for me, it was quite amazing, you know, an amazing journey. So, but in the process of going through this preservation project, I've been very fortunate to had opportunities to go to programs. And so I've been to the Vajrayana Seminary, and I'm currently student with Sakyong, and you know, I've been meditating now for 9-10 years, becoming an old soldier, as they say, and it's really a great thing. It's changed my life, you know, completely around. Well, I love the Sakyong very much, and I'm into what he's saying, and I, you know, revere him very much as a solid teacher. I still have to say my root guru, so to speak, would be Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, and there he is on tape. So, you know, someone who's dead, but he still has that power to come through, you know. It's almost like, you know, his passing really didn't mean all that much, if you really think about it. I mean, Shambhala's increasing, and it's just a huge legacy that he left, and that's pretty much it.